both moms and dad need to decide where the priorities are and then do what's necessary to meet the needs of kids.
And we're back with more of the Bringing Up Girls radio special with the world's most trusted parenting authority, Dr. James Dobson. Here again is co-host Penna Dexter.
Dr. Dobson, a lot of parents are out there resonating with what you're saying, but they're also saying that's easier said than done. I don't think it was easy for you. You had to give up some things. You probably had to take some financial risks at the time. And so could you give perhaps just a couple of strategies for people that you used and maybe include the moms in this too and how you can spend more time with your children and still go down the path that God has for you and pursue your career?
You can do both if you use your head and if you're willing to make some sacrifices. Good parenting almost always involves sacrifice. It may mean that a mom stays home with the kids when she could have a career. I'm not condemning those who work outside the home. That's somebody else's decision to make. It's between the woman and her husband. But I am saying, where are your priorities? Especially, and I have a chapter in this book on girls and their mothers, and we talk a lot about attachment there. Attachment is what needs to occur in those early years. And it grieves me to see so many of these young mothers giving birth, and 6 weeks later, they're back to work. Many of them have to do that. The culture is such and the economy is such now that many young mothers feel like they have to go back to work. But I'm telling you, it's second best, because that attachment is critical to what's going to happen the rest of life. And so both moms and dad need to decide where the priorities are and then do what's necessary to meet the needs of kids. And I can tell you this, I'm running past you here. I'll give you a chance to ask the next question. But the relationship that I have with my daughter and my son today is absolutely priceless to me. There is nothing I could have accomplished. There's nothing that I could have envisioned that would be as meaningful to me today as the fact that I hear from both those young people. They're both grown, but I hear from them nearly every day. And that's where my heart lies. And I look back on my life and say, I could have done things better. I was not a perfect parent, perfect father. I'm sure Shirley would feel the same way. We're not on a pedestal somewhere, you know, trying to tell everybody how great we were. But I am telling you that I did some things right. And that decision to give priority to my kids was at the top of the list. Penna, I am concerned that there are full-time moms out there that are feeling bludgeoned by us. They're very busy fathers that are feeling condemned by us. That's not our purpose. But I am just simply saying there is a very important priority here that you need to pray about and seek other ways perhaps to accomplish what you have to do to meet the financial needs of the family. Let me say about mothers and fathers in terms of that attachment and building the relationship that will last. I mentioned several aspects of that that begin with the letter T as a way of remembering. The first is time. Talking together is another one. Girls and women, more than boys and men, connect emotionally through the spoken word. Girls feel emotionally abandoned when their parents, and especially their fathers, don't talk to them. And the third is touch. Especially girls, they need to be hugged every day and hugged by their fathers. They need to the affirmation of reaching out and touching a hand. It's a way of communicating worth and value. And I've made the point in this book, and I feel it very strongly, that self-esteem for girls is largely related to the relationship with the father. And so talking and touching and giving time to them is an excellent way to build that relationship and build the confidence of the girl.
Dr. Dobson, there's a chapter in the book, it's worth the price of the book, in this chapter alone, and you took a group of girls and you interviewed them about their relationships with their fathers. And these were girls who'd been raised in Christian homes with fathers who provided well, who had, for the most part, stayed married to the mothers, and who were good Christian fathers, took the children to church. And yet there was something missing in many of these girls' relationships. And I think it's what you're describing
it
here.
Is.
It's that attention, that special touch, that special time, and the conversation, making the girl feel that she's special to the dad.
That was one of the most interesting exercises I've ever been through, because I brought 40 girls in two different groups into a big room, and we sat and we talked about bringing up girls. And I asked them, what do you think I ought to say here? Advise me. It was early in the process, and I asked them to give me advice. And those girls went straight for their fathers. They didn't talk much about their mothers. I assume the relationship there was good in most cases. But the fathers did not abuse these girls. They didn't try to hurt these girls. They didn't reject these girls. But they also failed to affirm the worth and value of these girls. Dads were busy, and they hardly knew that the little girls were around their feet. And these girls sat and wept as they talked about their relationship with their dads. And I'm sure if the fathers were asked about those years, they would not even have been aware that something was missing. But the girls remember it, and they were 20, 21, 22 years of age. And they sat and talked about the fact that, I don't think my dad had time for me. I don't think he knew what I was feeling. He didn't talk to me. We didn't go to breakfast together. We didn't do those things that say, you are important to me. I respect you. And I admire you, and you're beautiful. It was a very important step in the writing of this book, and I've described it in some detail.
Well, I saw throughout the book, Dr. Dobson, that if fathers do this, if they practice their child rearing in this way, it will go a long way in preventing their daughters from early sexual promiscuity.
The research shows that, Penna. I mean, it just shows that where there is a good relationship between the girls and their fathers, there's a much lower probability of early sexual activity. And guess what? Moms are important, too.
Moms are important, too. And I think one thing about mothers, and you wrote about this also, is that we shouldn't be afraid to hold up standards and be prudish. And as a matter of fact, if the women don't hold up standards in the culture, who's going to?
That's another chapter. You're just moving along. We have 22 chapters in this book, and I explained just a few days ago that most Christian books express the major theme of the book in the first three or four chapters. Have you noticed that?
Not this one.
and then the rest of the book merely builds on that theme. But this is 22 unique chapters. They are linked, but they're like monographs. They each deal with an aspect of bringing up girls, which is why it took me 3 years to write it, because I was dealing with all this research in every one of those chapters. And you're talking about another one here.
Dr. Dobson, we've talked about dads, and we've talked about moms, and we've talked about the problem. And I don't want to be too negative. I want to talk about the good news, because there is some good news for our girls, isn't there?
There is good news. And I hope we haven't depressed people today, but we do have to understand what's happening in the culture. But there's a chapter called Good News About Girls, and there's a lot of it. The good news is that millions of kids are not sleeping around. They're not using illegal drugs. They're not binge drinking. They're not at war with their parents. They're not failing in school. The majority are not. There is this danger that problems can develop with girls and with boys, as we've seen. But there are an awful lot of wonderful kids out there, and I don't want to understate that. 52% of high school students are still virgins. Many people would not really have expected that. And so there are reasons for optimism. You can still have an influence on your kids. You just have to set your mind to it. I've done some reading today, Penna. May I read one more paragraph?
Please do.
It's the last paragraph in that good news about girls. And I think it's a good place to kind of bring us in for a landing. I said, I will close with this thought. In the Broadway musical, The Music Man, a traveling salesman sings a song offering advice to the mothers and fathers of River City. It's called You Got Trouble. He proposes getting the kids involved in a marching band as a way to keep them moral after school. Well, even though the salesman was something of a con man, he was on to something. Parents do need to think hard about protecting their children from harmful influences after school and at all other times. The solution is to be found in building good relationships, in providing close supervision, in keeping your eyes and ears open, in enjoying a wholesome recreation with your children, in encouraging team sports, in getting involved in a caring church, in enrolling your kids in a good school, in careful monitoring of their friends, in talking a lot at evening meals, and praying constantly. These are the contributors to good news about girls and boys.
Dr. Dobson, I think throughout this interview today, and as people read the book Bringing Up Girls, they're going to see the passion and dedication with which you have taken on this project. Before we go, I would just like to ask you, what are your hopes for how this book will affect our culture?
You know, Penna, I have been blessed by the response to my books in the past. I think there are close to 20 million books out there, and I'm grateful for that. That's God's blessing on what I've tried to write and say. And I do hope that this book will be a continuation of that acceptance by parents. I look around today and I see moms and dads who really don't seem to have a clue about how kids think and about how to discipline them, how to train them, how to guide. You know, I started out writing Dare to Discipline 40 years ago, and at that time, parents didn't seem to understand much about children. It's worse today. You just go into an airport or a mall or a restaurant, and you see these kids throwing temper tantrums, and you see parents who don't seem involved in the lives of these kids. And if I can do something to kind of bring that back into the culture, and if I can make a contribution to those families out there that are harassed and troubled with all of that. Everybody has pressures on them today. There's no one that is without stress. And if I can lower that a little bit and offer some advice that will result in young people growing up to love their parents and love God and live a disciplined moral life, I will not have lived in vain.
Dr. Dobson, I know that it's been a long time coming getting this book out, but you were also embarking on a new adventure in your life and career. So you not only have a new book, you have a new radio program.
Well, this is an exciting time for Shirley and me, Penna. We're thrilled about this book and anxious to get this message out. But we've also started, as you indicated, a new radio program called Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. And the organization is called Family Talk. And we're going back to 1977 when I started Focus on the Family and starting over. And every now and then I ask myself, what am I doing here? And yet the Lord has his hand in my back, and I believe there's still much to be said and much to do, and Family Talk is the way we're going at it.
Well, Dr. Dobson, I'm sure everyone will look forward to the new radio program. I think it starts in May, and thank you so much for talking about this book. The book is Bringing Up Girls.
Penna, thank you for coming to Colorado Springs to do this interview. I've enjoyed talking to you. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it.
You've been listening to the Bringing Up Girls radio special featuring co-host Penna Dexter and the world's most trusted parenting authority, Dr. James Dobson. We hope you've enjoyed this inside look at Dr. Dobson's highly anticipated new book, Bringing Up Girls, from Tyndall House Publishers. Bringing Up Girls, practical advice and encouragement for those shaping the next generation of women.